Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. Welcome to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you're having a good day. Stay warm out there. I'm David Kaplan. Panel for today's show from Crane's Chicago Business. He is Mr. Danny Ecker, NBC Sports Chicago's own Layla Rahimi. And from The Athletic, he is Bears insider Kevin Fishbane. All right, let's get started. A lot going on, but we've got to start with yesterday, the video game. MLB The Show teased people on its Twitter feed and said they needed to keep an eye out for something huge today. Something big was going to happen. And they posted a picture of a cover which has Bryce Harper on it. So was Harper going to announce his team? Lots of people wanted to know. Well, baseball fans, here is their big announcement. Wow. So there it is. Bases Loaded was a better video game as MLB The Show trolls baseball fans with that video. Look, it was a great moment, Layla, when he hit a home run in San Diego. I will not forget it, but it's getting ridiculous.
Anytime we can pay homage to Bartolo Colon, I'm here for it. So I don't really know that that wasn't a good announcement. I mean, who has more service time than him?
Nobody.
Exactly. Okay, so at least
okay, but we
that.
Have two generational players who are sitting out there, and we can't get deals done. It's insane.
Well, I do agree in that that was a much better surprise to me than anything that would have happened with Bryce Harper. But you know, look, this is now a couple straight years of this just delay and kind of wondering and what's going on. Why do you have these big names just sitting out there unsigned while other players are getting picked up? And you know, you could point to whatever you want, but ultimately we've seen these contracts go up and up and up and up, and now the money that was driving that from television rights contracts has maybe started to show signs of hitting a ceiling with people cutting the cord, things like that. So I think there's kind of a realistic look in the mirror and say, how much money are some of these players actually worth?
By the way, here's our Ink and Law Sports Talk Live poll question. Has baseball slow offseason reduced your interest in the sport? Yes or no? NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. Kevin Fishbane.
You know, it hasn't slowed my interest, but I think about the MLB, where it stands next to the NBA and the NFL. The NFL, when free agency starts, you have those 2 or 3 day period where it's just madness. Where
guys are signing 1 minute into free agency.
Yeah, I mean, last year we had Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel. Those guys were all at Halas Hall on the same day because they all signed within minutes of each other. It's exciting. You have July 1st in the NBA when you got Woj on TV at midnight breaking things down. Major League Baseball is starving for the attention of the national sports landscape, and here's this opportunity. And it's not, I don't know whose fault it is necessarily, but there's something the league's got to do to try to draw up more interest because you have these two stars, and we're still waiting.
Oh, gentlemen, we all like a good market correction, don't we? And baseball is the purest, most capitalist sport in its free agency structure. So I'm going to counter with this, speaking to the market. 2016, Corey Seidman reports this from NBC Sports Philly. He said in that offseason leading up to it, so 15-16, there were 14 players who signed contracts of over $70 million. This year, there's one, and that's Patrick Corbin. Obviously, Harper and Machado fall into this, perhaps Dallas Keuchel. But there is a massive market correction that is going on, and we're seeing it unfettered in baseball. And because there is no league involvement to the degree that it is in the NBA and the NFL, that's why we have this. This is the market deciding what it's going
to
bear.
Okay, so do they need to then say, okay, as of January 15th, everybody's locked out of making deals until May 1st. You get your deals done by January 15th, or you're not playing until early May.
You know, that would certainly change the game. That would, all it does is force a different deadline. I mean, there's still a deadline here, right? I mean, teams want
to. There really isn't.
Well, there's a season, right? I mean, there's your deadline.
When did Jake Arrieta sign last year? They were already in spring training.
Yeah, and that could be the new norm. I mean, I think that's, first of all, you could probably make the case by some players to say, we don't need to start as early as we, want people, sort of the schedule says we should start. But ultimately, you're going to have, teams deciding that, there's going to be a time when they say, all right, it's time. The player's going to say, all right, it's time. This is the money I'll take. let's do it. Let's play baseball.
Yeah, I think this is unique because of Machado and Harper. I mean, when have we been in an offseason that has had two generational players? And, you know, I saw one story a couple weeks ago that everyone's waiting on Machado, and or Machado's waiting on Harper, but Scott Boras is waiting on Machado because he wants Harper's deal to be bigger than Machado's deal. So it's just kind of this race, and we're trying to see who's, because neither one wants to sign it first. We saw in the NFL, Aaron Donald signed his contract, and then a couple days later, Khalil Mack has the bigger contract. So that's what these guys want, and so it's just kind of this staring contest. Cap, I think the deadline would be fun. I think it would bring a lot more interest to this thing. I think it would force these teams to kind of get these deals done. I just don't see how the teams and players would agree to something like that. But you're right, though. When the season starts, you're starting to talk about paychecks. I mean, these guys got to get going in the next couple of weeks. But, man, it's really – the owners' meetings – I mean, talk about how boring that was.
Yeah, the
December,
the winter meetings are. So do you think this is affecting fan interest in the sport?
I think it is, because fans want to cheer for players. And how do you know who's on your team unless they sign with somebody? Of course it's affecting fan interest. But the bigger picture is they have deadlines. It's called the trade deadline and then the waiver trade deadline. And that's where we're seeing a ton of action happen. It's during the season now.
Okay, so do we need a deadline in the winter?
I don't think so. I just
so
think
you're
that
cool
this
if
is...
you show up at spring training February 15th, pitchers and catchers report, or February 10th, and then a week later we got position players, and Bryce Harper and Manny Machado are still sitting at home.
They want to sign for something. We all want to work. We wouldn't do that. We don't have the money to sit there and say, yeah, I need another 10 mil. But they do. That's the price of doing business.
Correct, but Major League Baseball is losing out on the ability to market all of these stars and this signing period. Everyone's looking at whatever. Nothing's going on. That's why you got to prod everyone to sign.
But what bothers me is the fact that everybody is waiting for those two because they take up so much payroll. We talk about the $70 million threshold. Yasmani Grandal signs a one-year contract? What is that?
Turned down a four-year deal from the White Sox.
But that's the point is, well, reportedly. But the point is, these guys are now all holding out for these one-year deals, or even we're seeing the opt-outs now that we used to see in the NBA. Those are very common. So we're seeing this massive market correction. I take a very boring stance because I'm like, you know, wherever these guys are going to go, they're going to go. But I don't think a deadline helps anybody in this case. It helps teams make a poor decision, maybe, or spend money a little too quickly.
Well, and also the point about, you know, baseball not being able to market young. I mean, this baseball is never going to be a sport that actually owns kind of the full calendar year in terms of people's attention. So, you know, football has that to some degree, and NBA does obviously now in July.
Month of December.
Maybe, but it's also, that's football time, you know? And so it's not necessarily going to rise and that all of a sudden deals in baseball are going to be.
That, but,
right.
But you get no attention at the winter meetings when nothing happens.
Baseball can't market Mike Trout,
well, that's
for
the
goodness
thing,
sake.
Is that there's also the personalities. I mean, look at the NBA and what it does so well is that there are these players that are so engaged in social media. There's like a soap opera element to the NBA. That doesn't exist in baseball. Players, for whatever reason, most don't nearly engage in that. And so you don't have these controversies and conversations that get started and, you know, go viral on social media and get people interested.
It would be fun if you, like, middle of February when there's nothing else going on in sports, pick a day. Say, that's your deadline. MLB Network, ESPN,
right.
Everyone, we're here talking
February about it. February 15th. If you haven't signed, you're locked out till May 1. Good luck to you.
Valentine's Day, bachelor style with a rose.
There
you get the rose or you
a
don't.
A soft deadline, perfect. I think, would increase the interest. But at the end of the day, this is all about who's taking up the most payroll and how.
Give
and that's
hard,
what we're
hard
dealing with.
Hard, fast deadline.
Free for all.
It'd be amazing. All right, let's talk basketball. Anthony Davis is out in New Orleans. He has told the Pelicans, there is no scenario that I will sign an extension with you. However, Chicago would make sense. He's got Chicago tattooed on his arm. He is a Chicago kid for Perspectives Charter School. And he also reportedly has zero interest in coming to Chicago. Is that upsetting? Is that an indication of the Bulls' ineptitude, or is that sign of a bigger issue with our city?
I want to know, is this because the Bulls are bad, or is this because he knows about the questions about ownership and the front office and Jim Boylan now? And those can go hand in hand.
I think he just wants to play with LeBron. They have the same agent.
It could be that simple. I mean, if you're the Bulls, why not throw everything you can and try to get him here? You should, just to see. But I do think it can be for people who are so upset with what's going on with the Bulls, I think this is a great example of we've reached the breaking point here, that this guy does not want to play for his hometown team. Something drastic needs to change.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's – I honestly think there's a problem with the Bulls overall. This has been how many years of saying, well, a big free agent or a big name out there that's going to decide where he wants to play will not go to the Bulls. And that's probably more to do with the fact that who have you seen do that and succeed? And part of it, you know, people will say, well, someone has to take the first step. But in a league where you're either at the top or you're at the bottom, the Bulls are at the bottom, and this is not the time that any young star, one of the biggest stars in the league, and Anthony Davis, would put himself in a situation where he might just kind of go quiet.
Do you think Anthony Davis has earned the right to say, I want to play with LeBron? Because I think he has. I think he's earned the right to ask that.
Why not? He's going to be an unrestricted free agent after next season, so he's giving his team, which is actually courteous of him. He could just drag it along and say, hey, just letting you know, you better move me because I will not be back under any circumstance.
I think we're definitely seeing a case of the haves and have-nots in the NBA, especially when it comes to the Western Conference and how everybody wants to go over there. LeBron didn't leave Cleveland for the East. He left Cleveland to go play in L.A. And the last time he left Cleveland, it was to a warm-weather place. Well, New Orleans is a warm-weather place. But this is, I think, a case of Anthony Davis saying, I've earned this right. You had your chance. We talked about that earlier with Boogie Cousins. That was their window.
And they didn't get it done.
Right. But I think it has more to do with him saying, I've earned the right to play with LeBron. If only Chicago could get LeBron. That's where you'd want to be.
Right. And his agent, Rich Paul, is also LeBron's agent. They're all part of Clutch Sports. And they fantasized about this for a long, long time. And you're right. You cannot blame him. There's a kid who grew up in the inner city here and says, and go live in L.A., warm weather, play with LeBron James on this amazing team that they're putting together. God bless him.
Yeah, he should. And as Layla said, he's earned it. I mean, that's a top five player in the NBA. And he's been in and with a mediocre team for so long. He should go play with LeBron. He should go find kind of his super team of his own. Because obviously, that's not the Bulls. I think the reason that we have to talk about this is because of that report from Brian Windhorst. I mean, just to hear the fact that he specifically, reportedly, does not want to play here, does not even thought about wanting to be the guy that could, save the Bulls. I mean, can you imagine that story if
okay,
that could be him?
So how do you fix the Chicago Bulls? Because I'm going to lay out my plan tomorrow. I've done a bunch of research on this. How do you fix the Bulls?
I want to see your plan. I think that'd be my interest. Where's the model for it, right? I mean, I guess the 76ers, is it, with the process and trusting the process and building with a bunch of great young draft picks to the point where maybe some of these top free agents and top players in the league decide, yeah, there's a situation I'd like to be in. That's probably how it has to happen. I don't think you're going to start to see a few different top players say, let's all go meet in Chicago and let's run the East. That's not in the foreseeable future. So in my opinion, it's a matter of, unfortunately, this is the way the NBA is. You have to tank. You have to be toward the bottom to collect picks, to develop really great talent, and make it a situation where a player can then come and say, we can compete for titles every year and we can thrive.
I don't know, but the process got intervened with because it goes back to what we were talking about, where the NBA is very involved in the entire process, whether it's free agency, drafting, the lottery. But you know what I'm saying. Like they try to get the assets. I mean, who can forget the look on Dr. J's face when they should have absolutely gotten the first pick, and then they end up with number three? That isn't exactly a lock stock process either. You're right. Not seeing the guaranteed situations happen, and the Bulls have shot themselves in the foot by depreciating their assets through second and third generations of trades. And we really saw that when campaign was kind of the flashpoint for that earlier this season.
I love the conspiracy theories. I'm all about it. I like it. No, I'm with you. But
it's the NBA. Basketball reasons.
I think the 76ers are the dream, right? I mean, you want to say, okay, if they did it, it took them as long as they did, and now they're a contender, can we get to that point? I mean, is a team that has Markkanen, LaVine, Dunn, and Zion Williamson or R.J. Barrett, is that going to be a contender? Is that going to be the type of team that's going to bring somebody in? No, I think that's why Anthony Davis is interesting. That was your one guy. that you can maybe throw everything out, bring him in. You have a top five player. It takes some time to build around him, and you go from there. But you're not going to get him. You're not going to get anybody like that. So you have to try this out and see how many number one or lottery picks you can get. Right? I mean, I'm excited to hear your plan, though, Cap.
Yeah, I've got a plan that I'm going to lay out, and I will tell you it does start with some front office change, but we'll get into that tomorrow. It's Super Bowl week, but all of the talk has been about the record win chills and Anthony Davis. Game itself will still be the most watched event on American television this year. But what happened to the buzz leading up to the main event?
Ricky's boys don't quit, and neither does NBC Sports Chicago's coverage. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports and get your White Sox anytime, anywhere.
Well, there it is. Opening night of the Super Bowl is what they call it now, where you get all kinds answering and asking questions. And let me ask you a question. You see all this lunacy that's going on at Super Bowl opening night, Layla. We talked about this on The Rush earlier.
We did.
There are some of the stupidest things going on, like that guy from Dallas dressing as a clown. That's a journalist.
I don't know that Dan McDowell is a journalist. He's a radio show host. He calls himself a media clown.
Okay.
But still, I know you hate clowns. What's with the mariachi, by the way?
I can't stand clowns. Clowns freak me out. I hate clowns.
That's what this is about.
I hate clowns.
That's what this is.
It is.
About you and the clown.
Have they gone too far?
The NFL?
With Super Bowl opening night?
No, because people still, you know, eat this stuff up, and that's the kind of stuff, that's this kind of content that's differentiated.
Okay, so why is there no buzz? Like, I do a radio show in the morning, a TV show in the afternoon, and we're talking more about Anthony Davis, the Bulls, is Machado coming to the White Sox? It's Super Bowl week.
Yeah, well, in Chicago, of course, no one's going to care about a Boston and L.A., you know.
But I think a year ago we were excited for the Super Bowl. I feel like it's just Patriots fatigue.
Probably to some extent. I mean, the ticket prices, it's funny because you would think that maybe people in Boston and Pats fans might be tired of it. Ticket prices are same as they were last year, and they, you know, even higher than they were a few years ago. So, I don't know. There's fatigue, I think, elsewhere. Everyone else, you know, in the country says, great, another Boston-L.A. championship game. I will just kind of sit there and wait. Maybe I'll watch and watch the commercials.
Yeah, I think there's probably a little Patriots fatigue because it's the same thing. It's Brady. How do you beat him? It's Belichick. You can't, you know, beat him in a chess match. I think in Chicago, I imagine a lot of Bears fans just don't want to talk about it.
Well, you know that the LA Times had stuff on the Dodgers. They had Anthony Davis news because he might be coming to Lakers. USC hired a new offensive coordinator, and that all was ahead of the Super Bowl.
From my school, by the way, Graham Harrell, go Mean Green.
There you go.
It's not surprising. I mean, the Rams are, for that town, I mean, that the Rams are not there yet.
People
in that city.
They're in the biggest sporting event in the world other than the World Cup.
I agree with you. They should be, but it's just the way LA is right now.
You know those franchises were encouraged. They weren't exactly voted on democratically. They pushed the Chargers to L.A. That's a Southern California discussion. And in L.A., they care about maybe the Dodgers, maybe the Lakers, the Rose Bowl parade, and USC, they joke, is their professional team. If they don't care about it, then why should anybody else? And the Saints were robbed.
It almost feels like the Rams are a middle market team, which is crazy.
So if they were to win, and I'm picking them to win, if they were to win the game, does it register out there or... Yeah, kind of.
I think it's, yeah, kind of. I mean, those some of the TV ratings I saw, like I think there were more people in L.A. watching Patriots-Chiefs than the Rams-Saints. Like, the ratings are crazy out there. It's just not a football town or an NFL city yet. But if they win, that could be what gets them going in that direction. And the new stadium, when that gets built, too. You know, you just got to give them a little bit of time. The Super Bowl will help.
I feel like that's true. When I live, my dad lives in L.A., my family's all out there, and I can't even remember them leading the news on the days that I watched when I was there, the local sportscast. They were the second or the third story. L.A. is still very much a love the Dodgers, love the Lakers town.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, I don't see, even with a win, I don't see that changing to any major degree. If they became some sort of, you know, decade-long powerhouse, but...
If they became the Patriots.
Yeah, but, you know, the story would be, if the Rams win the Super Bowl, the story would be far more about what's the future of the Patriots, you know, and is all the Tom Brady and the Patriots and the dynasty, and that's what the story will be, at least with the focus and the media coverage. So, you know, that's just the nature of L.A.
Yeah, I mean, even after the Eagles won last year, we were wondering, you know, what the Patriots do wrong? You know, what's right. next for Brady?
Why? What was the fluke?
The Malcolm Butler yeah. thing. I mean, that took up so many of the headlines. I think that would be, as Danny said, I think that's exponential this year if the Rams pull that off.
All right, we'll get your predictions after this final break. Yeah.
For monster coverage of the monsters of the Midway, download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Keep the Bears at your fingertips every day of the week. Download the app today.
Well, the New England Patriots looking for another Super Bowl. They were able to dispatch Kansas City in a dramatic game when Tom Brady was just magnificent. So I ask you guys to make your picks because with the overtime rules, what they were, Patrick Mahomes, the probable MVP, sat on the sideline. Who wins on Sunday?
I'm not going to bet against New England Patriots in the Super Bowl in which they're playing a young quarterback and, yes, this great offensive mind in Sean McVay, but I'll take the Patriots figuring out a way how to shut them down.
Yeah, I'd say Pats win like 38-34.
High scoring.
It's going to be a close game, and when it comes down to the final drive, I'm taking Brady. I have to. And if it comes down to the flip side, I'm taking Belichick finding a way to scheme out Jared Goff. We've seen that Rams offense in this city, too, struggle.
You can defend them. Very chilly that night. This will be climate controlled, 72 degrees indoors.
Well, they won't be able to do. Yeah, they won't be able to do what the Bears did. But I think there's a way that you can defend the Rams better than you can defend Brady in that situation.
All right, that is a wrap for Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado Bulls. Pre-game live is next. Have a wonderful evening. I'll give you my Bulls plan tomorrow, 5:30. If we're not all completely frozen, see ya.
For Chicago Sports Talk with Sizzle, crank up the heat and turn on STL. Host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table every weeknight on the topics that are trending with our teams. Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado, weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.